while I was like around five years old, I was at school and I got bullied, you know. Like I say, right. We all get bullied, you know, one way or another. So I'm sure each one of us has some kind of experience.
I got into martial arts because I was
exactly.
Bullied.
Yeah. So then I came home and I was hoping that my mom would come back to school with me and she would like try to come to my rescue. You know, she would come back and show them, put them to reason. But she didn't do so. But instead, she told me, listen, my son, I'm not going to come and help you because you got to learn to stand up for yourself. You know, you have to learn how to fight back. You have to defend yourself by any means that you could have. You know, you have your fingers. You can scratch the person if you need. You can scream if you need. If need be, you can bite. You can, you have to do something, anything, but you have to do something to, you know, get out of whatever situation and to defend yourself and show that, you know, you're out of. So you have to go back there and stand up for yourself.
What's up, my friend, and welcome back to another episode of the Legendary Life Podcast. I'm your host, celebrity trainer, and high-performance health coach, Ted Rice. This is a podcast for men and women who are looking to boost their energy and upgrade their health. So get ready to learn proven health, fitness, and mindset strategies to unlock your full potential. And today is going to be all about mindset, because I have a very special episode coming to you. This is an episode I recorded in Hong Kong when I was there for a week with my good friend, Roar Alexander. And Roar took me around and introduced me to several people and showed me around Hong Kong because he used to live there. And one of those people was four-time world champion kickboxer and current MMA competitor, Alain Galani. So we showed up at Alain Galani's gym. I got to train with him a little bit. I got to talk with him and I sat down and got to do this interview. And Alain has an incredible story. He's from Cameroon, Africa, but made his way all the way over to Hong Kong. And he's just like a star over there. He has his gym. He does public speaking in addition to all the mixed martial arts competitions that he does. And he took time out of his busy schedule to share some mindset strategies, to share some motivation with you. And although this is a few months old as an episode, I've been waiting to release it. It's perfect timing because I just went back and trained Muay Thai or Thai boxing, Thai kickboxing for the first time just 2 days ago as I'm recording this intro. And it's the first time that I've gone back and trained since I injured my back after getting that Thai massage in Phuket, Thailand. And I got to tell you, I'm feeling great. And it's because I did the right things. I got on the right rehab program. I went through my rehab and got myself back into shape so that I could go and do the things that I wanted to do again. And so many people get sidelined with an injury and they never make it back. And that's because they don't understand the right steps, the right recipe to get you there. And just like baking a cake or making a stir fry, since we're talking about Hong Kong today, there are specific steps that you need to follow to get back into shape. And if you're struggling with that right now, if you don't have the right steps, if you don't have the right recipe to get around your injury, or maybe you're injuring yourself because you keep going into the gym and you're pushing too hard, then what I want you to do is I want you to book a call with me. Go to legendarylifepodcast.com/talk. Sign up for a free breakthrough session where we can discuss what you're currently dealing with, where you currently want to go, and put together a game plan to get you there. So again, legendarylifepodcast.com/talk. Now, let's get back to the episode with Alain Galani. If you are in a position where you feel kind of mentally beat up and you need a pick-me-up and you're just too maybe sucked into the current political climate, political turmoil and chaos of whatever country you happen to be in, whether that's the US or even Brazil had a recent election and everybody's going crazy there too, this is going to help you get clear on what you need to focus on and what really matters in your life. And who better to do that than a guy who made it from Cameroon, Africa, and became a four-time world champion kickboxer and successful business owner with his Impact Gym in Hong Kong. So without further ado, let's get to the interview with Elaine the Panther Galani. Elaine Galani, thanks so much for doing this, man.
Thank you. Thank you for coming. Good to see you.
Yeah. So for those of you listening, I am in Hong Kong right now. I'm in Impact Gym, which is Elaine Galani's gym. He is a four-time world champion kickboxer and current MMA fighter. And you just kicked my ass, Elaine. Thank you so much for that.
Thank you for the fun. Welcome to Hong Kong. Welcome to Impact. It's always fun to, you know, throw it around and, you know, have fun with, you know, comers and from all around the world. You know, it's good to see you. And that was a good sweat. I like that.
Yeah, absolutely. And one of the reasons I wanted to do this, I find your story so fascinating because you're originally from Cameroon, Africa.
Yes, born in Cameroon, yeah. Grew up in Ivory Coast, yeah.
And so can you talk a little bit about your journey? Like, you're this four-time world kickboxing champion. You have this very successful gym in Hong Kong. What was the journey that led you here?
I mean, growing in Cameroon, like, most of African country, it's a battle, you know. It's tough every day. It's challenging. So you get to grow up in this sort of environment that condition you for, you know, difficulty in life and, you know, to toughen up. So, you know, you get kind of prepared, you know, if you could say it like that. So when I go back there, I can see that there's a lot of raw talent there because, you know, that's just the environment, you know, grow up in this environment and they can't help it. They have to be tough. So yeah,
gotta be tough to survive.
So, you know, that's how it is. Bullying is everywhere. Bullying, you find that everywhere in different kind of, you know, style, you know, whether it's at school, at home, your friend or whatever. So in Africa, you have to deal with it. We don't have kids there, don't have the privilege of going to see a psychologist or specialist, you know, to take care of, you know, when you have issues. So we are used to just toughen up and deal with situation, you know,
the way it is. You don't have any safe spaces? You know what that is, right? In the safe? Yeah. So this is my safe space.
No, we don't know about that over there. We don't know about that. It doesn't exist. You know, they have to, you'll say that and they won't understand what you're talking about. So yeah.
Yeah. And I think this is so important. Most of the people listening right now, they're from predominantly the United States, Canada, Australia, Britain. And I think in the West, we get so self-centered, so absorbed in our own lives and in our own problems. And we see what's happening on social media. You know, I'd love to hear more about what you're talking about. You said it was hard growing up in Cameroon. Bullying was everywhere. You had to be tough to survive, which, you know, I'd love to hear how you got into martial arts too. But for someone who's listening who could maybe use a perspective shift and perhaps toughen up from hearing your story, what were some of the things that you had to go through growing up?
Well, like I say, it's just the environment. It's just Africa, and that's how it is. Most of us, you know, growing up, you know, kids, you know, we are not, most of the population are privileged. So you have to deal with what you have. And you know, the basic things are like, you know, the transport is not given. So to go to school, for instance, you have to walk like kilometers and kilometers. And so everything is just rough, but you don't complain because that's your normal day-to-day life. That's just how it is. And, you know, you just deal with it the way it is. So it just helps toughen you up for life. You know, it prepares you and you don't even know that. You have no idea. So you're just dealing with it and that is just preparing you, but you have no idea. So when I started martial arts, it was easier for me. It was just flowing.
So
I thought, you know, when we run, I'm just running. It's not a big deal. When we're doing physical activity, it's a pleasure for me. When at school, when they ask me to go, when they punish me and ask me to go and do, you know, we have this activity that we call behind the school. We have like a forest or whatever. And then we have to go and cut the, cut the grass and, you know, do some manual work, you know, tough work. And, you know, you have to go and take your machete and then go and, you know, do some, all this work. For me, it was a pleasure to do that. I was always looking forward to do that because it wasn't a big deal. It wasn't like a punishment. For me, it was fun, actually. You know, I took it as fun. And, you know, I love to do manual, it's manual work, you know. So I went there and I do like through a couple of hours of hard work. It's really intense. Anybody else, you know, you're hands get cut, you know, you're bleeding, you have like all these
calluses
in, yeah, in your hands. So it's for anyone else, it would be like a punishment, like going to jail or something. So, but for us, it was cool. And for me personally, I enjoyed it. And I was looking forward to do that every week. So
was the reason you were looking forward to it is because of that escape from what you were dealing with at the time, or was it that just physical activity just makes you feel good?
Physical activity just makes me feel good. And what I'm saying is that I don't have a problem with it because my life is physical. My everything is just physical and it's just tough and you're just okay with it. You know, right. It's not a big deal. You're just okay with it. So when they try to channel that and try to, you know, like educate you into some martial art style, so it's easy for your body to respond, you know, so you respond easily, and things that people perhaps find difficult to do, you do it like, you know, without, like for you, it would be like, you know, no big deal. What's the big deal? You know, I just do it. So it was easier for me when I started martial art, you know, when I was training and when I was competing at a younger age, it was easier for me, I guess, you know. So I was, you know, winning competition back to back. I was doing judo and very quickly, I was winning back-to-back championship. Then, you know, I went to watch a karate tournament and someone was injured and they called me to come and replace the person. And I came and I won. I had the best fight of the night and I didn't even train in karate. So it was just to see how, you know, it just flowed for me, you know. So it was good and I just enjoyed it. So, and I grabbed it with both hands and I was very happy to, you know, discover, challenge myself and keep improving, keep discovering, keep setting goal and keep achieving and keep learning. So, yeah.
Yeah. And who got you into martial arts?
That was my mom. So it started
your
with mom.
Yeah,
my
That's mom. Very different yeah. than yeah, the yeah. West where yeah. it's like, no, don't do that.
Yes. It was my mom.
Protect you.
She had this mentality. She told, you know, she has 7 boys and 1 girl. And she told, you know, I need them to be tough. I need them to be, you know, prepared. You know, I need them to be, you know, strong and to be able to defend themselves and to be, you know, boys, you know.
Yeah,
so yeah. And I need them to all this energy that they have, I need them to make it to good use and to, you know, channel it, you know, nicely. So I think martial art would be good for them. So she pushed us and she put all of us into martial art one by one. Yeah. So yeah, she always has encouraged me. She was taking me to my training and, you know, I can remember it as if it was yesterday. And one thing that triggered it again, it was that while I was like around five years old, I was at school and I got bullied, you know. Like I say, right. We all get bullied, you know, one way or another. So I'm sure each one of us has some kind of experience.
I got into martial arts because I was
exactly.
bullied.
Yeah. So then I came home and I was hoping that my mom would come back to school with me and she would like try to come to my rescue. You know, she would come back and show them, you know, whatever, you know, put them to reason. But she didn't do so. But instead, she told me, listen, my son, I'm not going to come and help you because you got to learn to stand up for yourself. You know, you have to learn how to fight back. You have to defend yourself by any means that you could have. You know, you have your fingers. You can scratch the person if you need. You can scream if you need. If need be, you can bite. You can, you know, you have to do something, anything, but you have to do something to, you know, get out of whatever situation and to defend yourself and show that, you know, you're out of. So you have to go back there and stand up for yourself, you know. And then I couldn't believe I thought she was going to go with me, you know, like any mom, you know, you go with me
don't
and then try and
son,
don't touch
right?
my son,
yeah.
you know, like, you know, and then you feel like, yes, that's my mom, you know, but it wasn't like that, you know, so she just, you know, threw me out there and told me to go back and to, you know, stand up for myself. And I think after that day, she put me into martial art. But I just want to say that telling me that and, you know, being like that with me, it just triggered like everything. Yeah,
it made you start to realize,
yes,
hey,
realize,
I need to be a man
exactly,
and stand up.
Yeah, that was the trigger.
Yeah.
Yes, that's for sure was the trigger. Yeah.
Yeah, you know, what's interesting is, unfortunately, my parents didn't do that for me, but getting into martial arts did. Mm. And my senseis, my coaches, they all taught me that I needed to stand up.
Yeah.
And I feel like that's something we're missing in the West.
Yeah.
Can you talk a little bit about your, like, what you grew up with and how you see the world from your history in Cameroon and what your mom helped you with? And what you see in the West where people are kind of not wanting to stand up for themselves?
Well, it's complete different, how should I say that, upbringing. Mm. Complete different upbringing. In Africa, you know, we learn how to, you know, toughen up, you know, stand up for yourself. My mom came to school and told the teacher to make sure to be tough with me. You know, in the West, no mom is going to go and tell the teacher to be tough with the children. They'll go and tell the teacher, please do not be like that to my child. Don't shout at him. Don't do this to him, or so on. So it's completely different. So my mom wanted us not to be spoiled and not to have value, you know, to respect things, to have respect and value and learn that life is actually tough and that we have to appreciate whatever we have and that we have to be appreciative, we have to be respectful, we have to be hardworking. So all these values are very important. I think that's something that's lacking, you know. I see kids in the West, you know, like here, I see a parent coming to drop their kids, you know, kids has a driver, he barely can walk, he's taken
by
the...
He can barely walk?
Yeah, because he has a driver that drop him, then the bodyguard or the helper take him up to the club, then the bodyguard sitting there, so even when he needs a bottle of water, the helper has to come with the water and put it in his mouth.
No
so
way.
He can't even lift his own bottle of water. So that's completely, you know, I have a center and I see that coming here every day. And I'm just thinking, this is appalling. This right. is just outrageous. And then what message are you sending? You know, if you're telling the child that everything is a given, you know, life is actually very easy. You don't need to work. You don't need to do any much activity. Well, when I'm teaching the child, if the exercise is too hard, the child starts crying and that's it. That's the end of it. So what message are you sending?
Well, what do you do when that happens, so when you have one of these kids?
For me, I will not take that. I will not, you know, let that be, you know, it won't fly with me. So I have to tell the parents how it is, you know, when you here in my house, it's my rule. And, you know, it has to be hardworking, respectful, and the kids has to get out there. And, you know, and today I do a lot of speech. I go to school and then I talk to kids about, you know, school call me. I have a deal with many school here in Hong Kong, and I go and talk to them about life, about what they're going to be encountering out there, and about the fact that it's not easy and you have to learn how to, you know, toughen up, you know.
Hey, you know, it's funny too, right? Even if you have a situation where you're like, we're in Hong Kong, very wealthy place, I think has the most billionaires in Asia.
Yes.
Is that correct?
Yes.
So even if you're growing up in that way, and you're the kid of one of these wealthy parents, which, you know, God bless them because they're successful, but they are going to encounter things in life. Maybe it's in relationships. Maybe it's in a business deal gone bad. Maybe it's something on the street where they're put in danger. You can't always rely on the bodyguard or the helper. You've got to stand on your own two feet. You've got to know how to handle situations. That's what you help them with,
yes,
right?
Yes, you have to know how to handle the situation. You have to understand that it will not be easy always, whether it's in business or physical activity. It's not to say that you have to learn how to fight if someone attacks you in the street. It's not always like that.
It's most likely never going to be that, right?
Yeah, okay, so it most likely never going to be like that. But it's to show you that even in a business deal, you know, you can, you know, make a transaction, make a business deal and fail. You can make a business deal with people who are like vulture. You have to stand up, you know, to them. You have to learn how to, you know, even if you made a business deal and it didn't work, you have to, you know, accept that. You know, I have guys here who they make a business deal of hundreds of millions and then they fail and then they depress and then, you know, because, you know, they never learn failure. They never learn how to appreciate things. So it's very easy for them to be depressed and to go and see a psychologist. And it's just a whole drama, you know, out of the whole thing. But what I'm saying and what I'm doing speech and when I'm going to company to do a talk, I talk about my, my life. I talk about failure and success. I talk about me. I compare the fact that in a competitive situation, I fight, I win, I fight, I lose, but I'm still myself and I'm still taking whatever positive thing I could take from that to be better. And I still try to better myself and so on. And I stand up for myself and I keep going. And I always keep going. I stay positive and I keep going. I don't need to go and see a psychologist. I just toughen up and, you know. And
right.
Yeah, exactly. So that's what I'm trying to teach them. And, you know, like we were saying, it's very unfortunate that parents think that loving a child is giving him everything and teaching him nothing, you know, giving him everything and letting him be his way. You know, that's not loving a child. Loving a child is not just letting him have it his way, you know, anytime, anywhere. That's not, you know, loving a child. So they get that wrong, you know. You love a child like my mom loved me today. I know that she loved me more than anything. When I was a teenager, I didn't think she loved me. I think she hated me because she was making things so hard for me. But now I understand why she was doing that. But so I need to tell parents today that your child is not your friend. He is your child, not your friend. So if your child is your friend, it's not working.
Right.
So it's not, your child is not your friend. You know, most of the time your child will not agree with you because your child want to go partying, doesn't want to study, rather partying than studying, rather do, a lot of, fooling around because it's fun, because that's what you want to do
that's
when you're a teenager.
That's what,
yeah,
do,
it's
right?
what you do when you're a teenager. So the parents has to be parents, you know, you have to be telling your child not to do that and your child's not going to like it. So you're not going to be friends.
Right.
Yeah. So when my son or my daughter tell me, "Dad, I don't like you," I know why they say that, because I told them they can't have something, or they can't have sweet at night, or they can't do, it can't be their way. So they don't like me. And I say, fine, that's fair enough, but I'm still going to be your parent, whether you like me or not. So,
right. And
I know that, you know, when they're going to grow up, they're going to realize.
You know what's standing out to me when you say this in what we're talking about here is that being tough mentally isn't just about, you know, your record and your fights and all that stuff.
Yeah.
It's about saying no to your kids.
Yes.
And the reason why parents usually, I'm not a parent, I know you are, but the reason that I see a lot of parents say, give their kids everything is because they don't want to deal with the negative emotions from their kids because they can't handle it. It's not about the kids. It's like, oh, I don't want my kid to not like me.
Yeah.
You know, but you got to stand tough. Can you talk a little bit more about that?
You got to stay tough. You have to, you know, it doesn't please you to see your kids not happy. It definitely doesn't please you because you got emotion too. So you're not pleased, but you have to stand on your ground because you're trying to make a point. You're trying to teach, you're trying to educate your child. So you're trying to make a point. You're not, happy about seeing him mourning or crying or angry and so on. So you're not, but you have to make a point. That's what we do. It's about educating your child, you know, making him understand, you know, what is right and standing and, you know, being strict about it, you know, and that those are value, you know, this is very important. Value are important. It's necessary. So, yeah.
Elaine Galani, I know you're a busy man. You got people waiting for you. You got this successful gym in Hong Kong, but what I'd like you to finish off with is, someone's listening right now to you and they're like, oh, this guy's had this tough life in Cameroon. He had this wonderful mother who helped him get through these tough circumstances. He went on to become a world champion kickboxer 4 times. He's an MMA fighter. I'm not him. You know, I don't do martial arts. I don't have a successful business. I'm really struggling in life. What can you say to that person to help them level up their life right now?
I think it's all about growth. It's all about growth. A true winner doesn't seek only the title. A true winner seeks growth. So it's all about trying to grow and trying to learn and trying to achieve and trying to set goal. Okay. So I wanted to be a world champion. I became a world champion. And do I settle for that? No, I don't settle for that. You know, I don't settle for that. I don't settle for being a world champion. I want more. I want to learn more. I want to grow. I want to, you know, improve. I want to, every day I want to learn. So when I say, you know, at my level, of course, you know, it's easy for someone to look at me and think, oh, but look at him, you know, he has like 100 kilo. It's easy for him to be strong. It's easy for him to do this or to do that. But that's not what I'm talking about. At any level, anyone should seek growth, okay, at any level. So it's all about setting goal. So what is your goal? You know, each one of us, what is our goal? Each one of us should have a goal. So I wake up in the morning, I meditate 5 minutes. So it's easy for everyone to meditate 5 minutes. So I set goal. I want to do 5 push-ups every morning. So I wake up every morning, I meditate 5 minutes, then I do my 5 push-ups. As simple and as easy as it is, but that is a goal. So you set goal and you stick to it, you know. So dedication is about doing what you say you were going to do, you know, long after the mood that you say it in has left you, you know. You have to be dedicated and you have to say that as commitment. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You have to commit to that. Yeah. You commit to that. And that's why I put it on the wall so people can read it and then they stick to it. They remember that. You know, you have to commit. You have to be dedicated, you know, about something.
You have to keep that promise to yourself.
You have to keep that promise to yourself, not yeah. someone, just to yourself, you know. So that's what I'm trying to do. And I say, today, you know, at the age of 40 plus, I'm still competing. And I'm not doing that because I want to prove something. It's just because I want to keep growing. I want to keep learning. I want to keep improving. And I want to keep living. And to live is to be active, you know, to do something, to feel productive, you know, to society, to your family, to the environment, to your community. So, and that's what I'm doing. So, you know, I encourage, you know, each one of us and everyone to do the same, to hold on and to abide by a certain rule of integrity, you know, honor, you know, integrity, honor. These are important. Loyalty, you know, it's important. This is a value that are important and that we should stick, you know. So these are important values that we should teach, you know, and pass around to our student, to our children, to our family member, and, you know, to keep improving.
Yeah, so keep improving, never stop. There is no point where you get to the top of the mountain and there's no place to climb higher.
If you get to the top of the mountain, find a bigger mountain. Find a bigger mountain. Yeah, find a bigger mountain. I say find a bigger mountain. As soon as you get to the top of the mountain, find a bigger mountain and try to climb it. You know, set goal. Always set goal, but that's what keeps you alive. You know, that's what I believe. Yeah.
I love it, man. Powerful words. Alain Galani, thank you so much for this. You're an inspiration. Where can people find out more about you if they want to follow you online or if they want to come to Hong Kong and train here?
It would be my pleasure. Please email me at training@impact.hk, training@impact.hk. You can also follow me on Instagram, Alain.Galani. You can also follow me on Facebook, Alain the Panther Galani. Please do, and pleasure.
Awesome. And I'll have all that on the show notes, so you can find it on the show notes for this episode. Again, Alain Galani, thank you so much for your time, your wisdom, and thanks, brother. Really, really enjoyed this.
Thank you, man.
That wraps up another episode of the Legendary Life Podcast. I hope you enjoyed this episode as much as I did. Alain is such an inspiration and he has such an incredible story. I hope you got a lot out of it. I hope you were inspired by hearing what he's been through and the advice that he had to share, because a lot of us, we have more going for us than we realize. The world's a better place than we realize. Our lives are better than we realize, but because of our mindset, because of the things that we choose to focus on, because we have it too good and have the luxury of thinking about everything that is wrong with our lives, we don't appreciate what we have. We're not grateful for it. So I hope Alain gave you a much needed kick in the pants to get back, to get clear, and to get working on what really matters in life, because life is beautiful, but it's also short, and you don't want to waste 1 minute of it doing something that doesn't serve you, doesn't serve your family, doesn't serve your community, doesn't serve your country, and doesn't serve the world. So that's what I have to say about that. And again, I want to say I apologize for some of the audio quality on some of these live interviews, some of these in-person interviews, because, you know, I did my best, but I've got a kind of a setup that isn't the best, and I will be working on, when I'm going back to the States, I'm going to invest in all new podcast recording equipment that I can take with me on the go, because I love doing these interviews and I hope you love them as well. And I would love to hear from you. If you have some ideas about doing the interviews, or if you just want to say, hey, I really enjoy these in-person interviews that you're doing, go ahead and give me a shout. Let me know. You can find my contact info, of course, at legendarylifepodcast.com. So that's all I have for today. I hope you enjoyed this episode. Have a great week, and I'll speak to you soon.